it's important to think that true self-care will ask, will this help my body heal or just help me forget that I need healing?
You've just tuned in to Rebel Wellness. I'm your host, Kaylee, also known as Coach Kales, integrative clinical nutritionist in training, fitness pro of over a decade, and the woman who refused to accept normal when my body was screaming otherwise. If you're the high achiever who's been told your blood work is perfect while you're secretly Googling why you feel like garbage, if you're crushing it at work but your energy crashes at 3 p.m. and your cycle just feels off, or maybe you've been gaslit by providers who dismiss your symptoms as just stress, and you know something deeper is going on, you're my people. Here's where functional medicine meets real talk strategy. I created this podcast as your resource to take back the driver's seat on your health journey. Women are incredibly intuitive, and I'm here to help you reconnect with that voice. This isn't about perfection or another protocol to fail at. It's about finally getting the answers your body has been begging for and the tools that actually work in your real, messy, beautiful life. Less noise, more nourishment. Let's dive in. Welcome back to the show, Rebel. Today, we are going to have a little bit of a Coach Kales pep talk because there was a concept that I've talked about before, but not in this sort of framing, that I wanted to discuss with you guys today. And it's all around the concept that self-love says, I love me, and self-care says, prove it, right? If you haven't heard that concept before, that's one of my favorite ways to frame in your mind what those terms actually mean. If there's one thing that I have observed over the years, it's that a lot of us confuse numbing with nourishing. And so I wanted to talk more about that today so that you can kind of think about it for yourself and hopefully adjust your mindset if it needs adjusting, because society and, you know, like our capitalistic culture has kind of taken a lot of this self-care concept and, of course, made it make us think that we get self-care out of purchasing things or indulging in things. And unfortunately, that is really skewed from the actual heart of the message. And this isn't about shaming your glass of wine every night or your Netflix binges or your late night scrolling. You know, this is about understanding the difference between what feels good in the moment and like what actually serves you long term. So by the end of today's episode, you'll know exactly how to tell if your self-care is actually self-sabotage in disguise. But before we jump into this topic together, I do want to invite you to go see my brand new website. It is beautiful. It is live. And there's a ton of amazing resources on it and freebies for you that you can check out on nourishwithin.me, or you can just go to the show notes. There's all the great links there. But I'd also love to invite you to join our newsletter on there, because as more and more great things roll out that pertain to a lot of the topics I discuss here on the podcast, you'll want to know. And the first people who know are always on my newsletter. And I am definitely not that person who spams you with like a bajillion emails where, you know, it overwhelms your inbox and you're like, get me out of here. That is not me. I do not do that. So go ahead and join our newsletter if you would like to. You can see the links in the show notes. But let's dive in to talk a little bit more about how you might be self-sabotaging yourself, but thinking you're doing self-care. The smartest thing we can do is set the stage with what self-care actually is and why does it matter for your hormones, your nervous system, and your overall health long-term. So the real definition: self-care is actions that actively restore, regulate, and replenish your body systems. So this does not equate to anything that feels like a big dopamine hit. So, you know, like indulgent foods or alcohol, because alcohol does spike dopamine in a lot of us. That's why it can be easily addictive. You know, most things that have addictive potential are going to be dopamine spikers. So when you have a habit that you are feeling like a spike of dopamine, even just thinking about it, that's a good way to kind of take inventory on maybe this is something that is actually more of a numbing technique and not a nourishing. So it's important to differentiate that self-care is not always comfortable or convenient. Sometimes it is the harder choice in the moment. And that is where you kind of build those pathways in your brain that help you to make better decisions that are going to pay you dividends in your health long term. You know, a lot of people like to use the money concept because you're basically taking care of yourself and paying it forward and putting your attention and your energy as currency into yourself. So you're building this really nice nest egg, so to speak, of, you know, finances or currency that is going to set you up in the future to be a lot more healthy, a lot more resilient, you know, have a lot more capabilities because you've been investing in yourself in that way. So yes, the payoff is cumulative, you know, better sleep, balanced hormones, stable energy, clearer skin, you know, for a lot of us, longer chapters of fertility and improved mood regulation, which will trickle down into improved relationships in your life. So all of these things have a huge payoff, and it's absolutely worth your time and attention to try and, you know, refocus your self-care habits, or even just starting into self-care habits if you're somebody who's just kind of been burning the midnight oil and not taking care of yourself. And this is why it's something that is really important for me, and I really wanted to talk about it, especially since a lot of my listeners are high-performing women just like me. And when you're chronically stressed or burnout, your body is going to be in survival mode. A lot of people don't love that term because it's kind of become a buzzword, but in reality, it's a real thing. You know, when your body is constantly trying to just survive because you're not giving it space to thrive, self-care is part of thriving. And so if you're somebody who's just like, I have no time for self-care, this or that, stay tuned because we're going to talk about some little ways that you actually can incorporate a lot of self-care, and it doesn't cost you anything and it's very minimal time involved. But true self-care brings you back into that parasympathetic nervous system. So this is very correlated to nervous system dysregulation. And that's why it's especially important for high-performing women. You know, if you're a full-time career gal and you have children, or you have a partner that is like a child, I'm just kidding. Or you just have a lot of things that you take care of in your life. You know, we're caretakers as a lot of us females. And so naturally, you know, we're going to take care of everybody else. And we've been taught throughout society that that is your utmost value in life, is just taking care of everybody else. Or maybe you're somebody who is on the opposite end and you've just focused a lot on your ambitions so much so that you haven't taken care of yourself when it comes to this parasympathetic state, the rest, digest, heal. And that's really easy to get out of, you know, balance with. Like for me, throughout a lot of my 20s, especially when my business was taking off and I had 40 clients in my roster constantly, and, you know, I was just taking care of all of those people. And then I was taking care of myself by just training really hard and, you know, hyper controlling my food, or sometimes just skipping food because I was so busy. And when you're dysregulated like that, you know, even if you're eating healthy, your blood sugar is going to be dysregulated if you're living a lifestyle like that. And that's what ultimately contributed to my cortisol staying elevated, my blood sugar dysregulation, then the hormone chaos and the inflammation, and then basically all those symptoms I could never really escape from until I actually took the time and made hard decisions that were really uncomfortable to get into that parasympathetic nervous system more often in my day. And that meant cutting a lot of stuff out. So it's kind of ironic, you know, that numbing behaviors we use to cope with burnout actually perpetuate the burnout cycle. And that's something that I personally learned. And I hope that if you're listening to this and you're like, oh my God, that's me, that this is your opportunity to, you know, break the cycle. And it's also important to think about what we could call like the science and soul connection, where your body doesn't distinguish between deserved indulgence and psychological or physiological stressor. So, you know, we might, you know, Netflix, dude, I have pointed out to so many of my clients that like, it's very clear that the wine industry is struggling, that most of, you know, the younger millennials into Gen Z and, you know, hopefully through Gen Alpha, are significantly reducing our alcohol intake because we're realizing that, yo, this is not good for us, you know, in high frequency. But I can tell on Netflix and like a lot of the other, mostly Netflix. I don't know how much funding they get from the alcohol industry, but man, like all of the like young, I think Hulu for sure. There's so much drinking that they partake in just casually all the time. They always put like a glass of wine in their hand in the middle of the day when they're all meeting with the girls, and or late at night, you know, and they're always getting cocktails, or they'll come home like in Yellowstone, which I guess is Paramount or whatever, but they just like would slop a bunch of whiskey in a glass and chug it back and then just like keep going. And I'm like, there's no way Beth has that body if she's drinking that much alcohol all the time. You know what I mean? So with that random anecdote said, I have noticed that, you know, nightly wine might feel relaxing. I partook in that. And I would say, I think I remember I was like 26 and it was peak stress time for my business. I was out of college for a few years. I had been really chugging and everything was on me. And the pressure that a lot of people don't understand when they have never ran their own business or been their own, you know, financial lifeline. I was single, or, you know, I'd be in some relationships, but still operating as single, because I always believe that, you know, you should be able to take care of yourself before you, you know, combine with somebody else. But I remember I had gotten into this habit of buying these little half bottles of red wine, and I'd like drink one every 3 days or so. So like just a couple of glasses, like a glass a night. And it became something where I started to realize that like it feels relaxing, but it's disrupting my REM sleep. So my sleep quality would be crappy. I would get like night sweats. It taxed my liver. It spiked my blood sugar overnight. It suppresses progesterone production, because you also, it's especially wine, because of like the preservatives, the sulfites and all of that can mimic estrogen, so it can be an oestrogen. And that's why some women will immediately feel like sore boobs the next morning, because the alcohol that they consumed is altering their hormones. And when you have estrogen excess, you can also stifle your natural progesterone production. And if you're somebody who's on birth control, you know, that's even going to sneak up harder when you get off birth control, because your body's going to be like, well, hey, I've been dysregulated this entire time and you've never known because you're masking it with fake hormones. And so that's where that can be really tricky. So ultimately, what's really important to know is that even though it feels like a deserved indulgence, it actually is physiologically stressing you more, and it's causing you more harm. And so you're not really taking care of yourself. You're just numbing something that you need to address. So usually that's you're overstressed. You didn't make time for yourself. You know, you're not implementing simple tactics like even breath work to help your body at night shift into more of that parasympathetic nervous system state, because you usually are just stuck in sympathetic nervous system. So your nervous system is just responding to everything and it's elevated. And if you might get wired and tired at night, that's a good way of knowing if you are stuck in that like go, 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 or if your body is so dysregulated that it kind of steamrolled through the day and then it kicks on at night like, hey, isn't there more stuff we need to do? You know, you should be doing it. And if you're somebody who's like a frantic night cleaner or something like that, or even, you know, it can look like doom scrolling at night, just staying up late at night, scrolling and not realizing that this is your body asking for something else, and watching social media or binging TV shows or partaking in marijuana or alcohol or, you know, drugs, you know, whatever form you might be using to try and, you know, chill out, it's probably a good sign that something is dysregulated and you need to check in on that. So it's important to think that true self-care will ask, will this help my body heal or just help me forget that I need healing? Check in with that. Listen to that again. Will this help my body heal or just help me forget I need healing? Because that is a really good way to take inventory on what is dysregulated in your life and what is asking you to improve upon. So now that you kind of hopefully can understand a little bit better what the difference is between true self-care and, you know, the indulgences, let's talk a little bit about the self-soothing trap a little bit more, so that can kind of jog your own memory as you go throughout your week after you listen to this, and kind of think about what you're doing that you think is self-care that's actually just numbing. So again, society has rebranded escapism as empowerment. And this doesn't mean that you can't partake in things that you enjoy. You know, I've had this discussion a lot, like with my husband, with computer gaming, clients. I have this a lot with TikTok scrolling. Honestly, it's usually TikTok. Like the hold that over the last couple of years, TikTok has had on a lot of clients and makes them think that it is empowerment because they're learning things and they're laughing at funny stuff. And it's like fun to, you know, escape. The concept is you're escaping, and that is not empowerment because you are giving your control over your life and your attention to something else. Doing that once in a while is totally okay. It's very human, you know, but it's a slippery slope because those are the things that do give you dopamine that can make you easily slide into addiction with it and get out of hand without you realizing it. It becomes your new normal. And so the thought of no longer having it anymore freaks you out. And you're like, yeah, right. I'm going to rebrand this in my mind as self-care. And in reality, it is escapism. And on top of that, you know, the treat yourself culture is basically permission to avoid discomfort. Unfortunately, you know, I would say one of the most common patterns I've seen in the over 10 years I've been coaching women is they'll say, treat myself after I did a good hard workout or after I hit my 4 workouts that week. And essentially, the dark side to that is they undo all of the progress they just made by, you know, putting themselves into a deficit, building their muscle, getting their metabolism flowing, helping their blood sugar regulation because of the whole habit itself, because, you know, weightlifting does manage your blood sugar much better because muscle is basically like your second pancreas. But then they go and they have some big bingy Cinnabon and, you know, soda and a burger and all this different stuff. And all of a sudden, a lot of the progress that you were trying to make, now you just gave your body a big inflammation bomb. And under the guise of treat yourself, like I earned this. And it's not taking care of yourself or empowerment to constantly only do healthy self-care habits to get to some sort of comfortable, indulgent treat. So if you're only doing those healthy habits to get to the very unhealthy habit at the end of the week or the day or whatever, that's definitely a bad loop, right? It's a loop that's going to keep you avoiding your discomfort because you're basically ending up at comfort at the end of the day every day. And that's not to say that, you know, everything that's indulgent is comfort and comfort is bad, but there is a lot to be said about discomfort consistently bringing you long-term health, and that doesn't necessarily mean that you get there with comfort. Honestly, the more I talk it out, and I actually had recently seen a kind of an Instagram reel by Dr. Gabrielle Lyons talk about this, where we are kind of getting too comfortable and comfort is killing us because we want as minimal discomfort as possible. We don't like, you know, we sit in consistent temperature at home all day. It's cold outside or it's hot outside. We don't go out in it, you know, and that's where saunas are beneficial for getting your body used to higher heat and sweating, and it has a lot of benefits. And cold has a lot of benefits as well because you're also exposing your body to a big shift in temperature so it can adapt and be better at adapting. And same with weightlifting, you know, following movement that just feels good all the time isn't going to help your body adjust and grow because your body needs stimulus that challenges it to change in efforts to actually change and grow or become stronger. You know, a lot of people will never get stronger following things like, you know, reformer Pilates or yoga because those don't simply increase the load in a way that is extremely discomforting. And, you know, that's where I think there's totally a place for Pilates and stuff. And yeah, you can absolutely build core strength and a different form of strength like isometric strength, or, you know, there is still isotonic strength. So repetition in Pilates and things like that, but it's not going to give you any sort of significant muscle building or adaptation where, you know, if you're somebody who's really trying to like grow better glutes, you're not going to get that really at Pilates, yoga, or any of those more comfortable modes of exercise. So it's truly important for you to actually flip the script and give yourself permission to have discomfort in your life as a challenge, because you know it's going to make you better, you know, within boundaries of not being extreme. Yeah, everybody who does the extreme thing and overtrains too much or overdoes it with controlling their food and all that, that's of course not going to be healthy. But you do need to have discomfort in your day versus the treat yourself culture telling you that you have permission to avoid discomfort. Just make yourself full of comfort all the time. You know what I mean? And so ultimately, the way that the wellness industry has co-opted self-care language to sell products like face masks and candles and wine subscriptions and la la la, all of those things are not actual self-care. So I'm going to list a couple of little common self-care habits that are actually self-soothing and numbing that we think are self-care, okay? So nightly wine and cocktails to decompress, like I've mentioned before. That single-handedly messed up a lot of my hormones. I do not recommend it. I do not recommend it. If you are doing that already right now, or you're starting to, probably pivot. Scrolling social media in bed for hours, binge-watching Netflix until 2 a.m. or so, retail therapy, impulse purchases. This is a hard one. A lot of us don't even realize that like our Amazon habit is not so cute, right? It's unfortunately one of those things that a lot of us are just doing and not realizing that it actually is a numbing technique. Excessive caffeine to get through the day, or sugar like candy and things like that later in your day. Sedatives at night, so alcohol, excessive melatonin, so more than 5 milligrams a night. Sleep aids. If you need all of those things to crash at night, that is definitely a sign that you may have to do some work on your daily routine to help your natural circadian rhythm kind of reestablish. And if your body is always in fight or flight, if your nervous system is always on high, you're going to have a really hard time crashing at night. So you really, there's maybe I'll do an episode on that to kind of help you navigate that, because there is a lot of specifics that, you know, even I had to do to try and realign my circadian rhythm to stop getting that cortisol spike at night. Overscheduling fun activities that leave you more depleted is actually a strange thing that a lot of people might be doing, thinking that it's self-care, like spending a lot of time with friends, going out to happy hour often, you know, doing so many things that you're honestly just distracted. Being distracted all the time and thinking and making yourself busy, busy making, those are definitely numbing techniques, because you know, it kind of is correlated the most to people who are afraid to be alone with their thoughts. And that's something that's like, honestly, face those thoughts, get into some shadow work. You're going to feel better when you get through it. Okay. It sucks going into it. Again, that comfort concept, but you really should sit in that discomfort for a little bit. It's going to be life-changing, trust me. And using food as entertainment rather than nourishment. So a lot of times people will find that they can, you know, say like, oh, I'm a big foodie. I like to go out and overindulge in these big, crazy meals, like a milkshake with a piece of cake on it, or like some crazy burger that's got like gold in it or something. You know, that might be extreme. A lot of people sometimes just chase whatever is like a popular food thing. They follow food pages on Instagram or something, and then they're like, it's fun for me to go check out these places and then review them. Totally fine. But maybe shift it to a way where like you and a partner or a couple of friends go and you share like single items and you just take little portions to try more things, and you still eat like well-portioned food that's not over-portioned by getting a ton of like various things just for yourself. You know, that's the real hack with being a foodie. You know, I worked in a Michelin kitchen, and the Michelin starred chef told me that the best thing to do, like when I was going to go to New York, he was like, try everything with somebody else, because you'll get to try way more things and enjoy more food when you share it. So, you know, that's a little pro tip if you're somebody who is using food to numb or to distract. So here's how you can spot the difference. So self-soothing feels like instant gratification, temporary relief followed by like guilt, regret, or worse symptoms. So, you know, kind of a lot of the stuff that we had talked about with like treat yourself after you do a good workout day. Avoidance of what you actually need to address. Checking out or disconnecting from your body. And that dopamine hit followed by the crash that sometimes makes you reach for more. So those are ways to kind of take inventory on what self-soothing habits feel like. True self-care feels more like sometimes uncomfortable in the moment, leads to sustained energy, clarity, peace, creates positive momentum, keeps you connected to your body and its needs, and an investment in energy, not extraction. So that feeling of like, I just needed to get to the gym, and now that I'm done with my workout, I feel great. That is such a common phrase. Almost every single client I've ever worked with their fitness habits always says. Same thing goes with when they eat nourishing meals that give them good fiber and good protein and healthy fats. And so their blood sugar feels regulated. And so then their mood is regulated. And then it's like this trickle down thing where the rest of their day feels better, their energy feels better. And so your investment in eating nourishing foods every day is going to be fueling you, even though it's uncomfortable at the moment, because you're not just reaching for all these yummy, hyper palatable foods that, you know, give you a dopamine hit and then you feel like junk later. And a lot of this conversation today spurred from this post that I had reshared on my story on my Kaylee Loren page, where they said, we might love ourselves enough to run ourselves a bubble bath or get that outfit we like, but do we love ourselves enough to make a sacrifice now that will pay off later? And so how often you engage in that, you know, very human numbing habit and why you do it really determines its hold on you. And that's something that is really good to simmer on when you identify certain habits you're doing and the numbing that comes with it, to very much determine if you should try to reduce it or eliminate it altogether, like cold turkey. Because a lot of the times, a lot of us use the excuse of like, oh, I can't do cold turkey, it just doesn't work for me. It actually just has to come from within that you've made a decision and you have a really strong why as to why you are quitting it. I mean, I've seen even like my stepmom completely quit cigarettes after an entire lifetime of smoking because of her family and her son that she was about to have. So there's so many things that are possible that you might just be making excuses for. So, you know, ask yourself, am I doing this because I feel terrible and I want to feel better instantly? Or am I doing this so that I feel better long term? That's a really good way to determine if your self-care habit is truly something that is going to be numbing or nourishing. And a last good litmus test for this kind of frequency and why concept is, if you can't go without it without spiraling, that is a dependency, not self-care. Okay, Rebel, so let's actually finish today's chat about what actual self-care looks like. I know I've talked about it a little bit, but let's really dive into that to end this one out together and how you can start. So self-care is often unsexy. That is just a fact. You know, it's meal prepping on Sunday instead of door dashing all week last minute. It's going to bed at 10 p.m. when your brain wants to scroll until midnight. It's movement that energizes you rather than just exhausts you. So, you know, choosing to go on a walk outside after dinner in the evening versus, you know, going and waking up at 4 a.m. for a Peloton spin. You know, if that doesn't exhaust you, go for it. If that energizes you, cool. For a lot of us, it exhausts us if we are especially like high performers who are trying to heal. Some high performers don't, you know, and that's its own thing. But it's also saying no to plans when you need to rest. So if you're just feeling actually burnt out, you need to say no, it's okay. And you're not disappointing people. Even if you're disappointing people, they would probably, if they actually care about you, they'd probably rather see you healthier and thriving and filling your own cup versus burning yourself out just to show up and be there and put on a face. It's the housekeeper example that I talked about in my story where, you know, reallocating resources to create space for what matters is really important. So, in my story, if you did not see it, which probably most of you haven't, I talk about that, you know, a lot of people will say, I don't have the finances to hire a housekeeper. Like, what a luxury. Is it actually a luxury when, like, most housekeepers on average, especially like local ones, are going to be like $50 an hour? Your house might only need like 2 hours of work. If you can get them to come two times a month, let's say for 2 hours each time, that's $200. Have you looked at your DoorDash or your, you know, daily Starbucks or Dutch Brothers or any of those different, you know, common places that a lot of people frequent every week and like calculated all of, you know, those sort of numbing habits and seen that, you know, oh, I do actually have finances I could reallocate if I start meal prepping more, or, you know, maybe you can allocate those funds instead of to a housekeeper to make time for you, yourself, and to clear your space, because there's something important about having a clean space and how it correlates to your mental health and your physical health. But some people can also just reallocate all the money they're spending on DoorDash for a meal delivery service. You'd be amazed, guys, at how much money you're probably spending going out to eat or ordering meals out all the time. And so true self-care lands in a couple different categories that you can think of if we're going to go through some examples. So physiological self-care would be prioritizing, you know, 7 to 9 hours of quality sleep. If you're a female, it's really important for us to get 7.5 to 9 hours of sleep as frequently as possible for our best health long term. Eating balanced meals at regular intervals is really important. So, you know, ideally 3 meals a day or 4 meals if you're somebody who weightlifts and wants to get in some more protein, because it's super hard to get enough protein in. If you're trying to eat towards like 115 grams a day is a pretty standard amount. Making sure your balanced meals have good quality proteins, fiber, healthy fats, you know, every single meal you want that. And that's going to help regulate your blood sugar, which is, you know, again, a cascade of benefits for the rest of your day and your week, et cetera. Moving your body in ways that lift you up, not grind you down. So maybe Orange Theory and things like that is not your best bet. If you're feeling beat up and like you can't do anything else the rest of the week, you don't need to beat yourself down to have a successful exercise session, okay? A lot of times, a lot of my clients will be like, I wasn't as sore as I thought. We didn't do very much. And I'm like, no, it's very important that we do not get DOMS constantly, because that is not successful. That is overtraining. And so you don't want to feel like some crazy massive sweat sesh where you're beat up the rest of the week, because that's actually grinding you down and not taking care of you. So finding movement and strength that feels like a good challenge and that you can progressively challenge yourself with every week, but isn't attacking you so much that you just feel like you can't sit on the toilet half the week. So hydration, sunlight, fresh air, very important physiological self-care. Managing your blood sugar and supporting your detox pathways, usually through your nutrition and such, but also things like infrared sauna time or, you know, walking outside at the peak sunlight part of the day. If you can get in like a little 10 or 15 minute walk. Important things. Some nervous system self-care would be breath work, meditation, vagus nerve exercises. YouTube, guys. If you're like, Kales, I have no idea how to do that. YouTube. Okay. A million people have fantastic resources for free on there. Time in nature without devices. So important. Put your phone on silent. Leave it in the car. If that freaks you out, just put it in your backpack or a fanny pack. Like, I walk my dog with like a little fanny pack, cheap on Amazon, and I always have my phone in there. Somatic practices, gentle yoga, stretching, those are super beneficial. You know, it always feels good after a yoga session, typically, right? Setting boundaries on work hours and your notifications is so key. If you're somebody who has zero boundaries and your like work-life balance doesn't allow you to cut off time where you stop responding to people, that's a huge red flag. Probably take some inventory onto how you can better adjust your personal mentality around setting boundaries in those work hours, because a lot of the times it's more of an us thing than an actual job thing. Like, a lot of people think like, oh, if I don't respond to them right away, like this or that, if I don't get back to this email, blah, blah, blah. And in the end of the day, like, if something was that time sensitive, it should have been earlier in the day. If it's happening that late at night, people have to assume that maybe you're asleep. Some people do go to bed at like 7:30 p.m. So how can you necessarily expect somebody as work-related to get back to you if they're like literally asleep? Like, that's ridiculous. So my personal thing, I stopped trying to respond to any client questions around 8 to 9 p.m. That took me a really long time to implement into my own life. Some emotional and mental self-care that's important to think about is therapy or coaching, doing the real work, journaling to process rather than to suppress. You know, even just brain dump journaling can be incredibly therapeutic. Community connection, so real connection with humans, not just digital, you know, joining a gardening class, taking a cooking class, getting involved with like a hiking group or club, you know, Facebook groups. There's so many great ways that you can find these in your own community. Creative expression with no productivity attached, like painting, creating stuff with clay, baking, you know, whatever it is that brings you joy, bring that back into your life. That's an important thing. And a lot of us think like, oh, it's a luxury and that's so bad. That means that you've just gotten so far into the whole of the industrialized complex that unfortunately you've forgotten that you have a birthright to do with your time as you please, as it, you know, supports the life you've created. And if the life you've created doesn't support you having creative expression time, or just like hobby time, you can just call that hobby time, that's going to be really important for you to reflect on if you have a goal of a healthy, happy, long life. And the last part of the emotional mental self-care would be learning to feel your feelings instead of like fast-forwarding through them. Usually what we find is that that's what leads to numbing and distraction because, you know, people are, they don't have the capacity or the understanding emotionally, emotional intelligence to feel their feelings. And that's so important because if you suppress those for so long, they show up in your body as illness, whether that's mental illness or physical illness. And that's a real thing, you know, look into it. The body keeps score and the You Can Heal Yourself books, you know, all of those talk about how a lot of people have discovered that. So some practical self-care that's kind of underrated. Like I said, hiring help, housekeeper, meal service, virtual assistant, whatever you need to create more capacity. Batch cooking nourishing meals, making it easier for yourself and your family. Morning routines that anchor your day. So making sure that you're not just immediately going onto social media when you wake up. You know, I sleep with my phone in the bathroom. It's not even close to me. So I don't roll over and just lay in bed on my phone. Essential habit change that was a game changer. And I have a Hatch alarm clock. So I have it set to having a certain wake up time that it wakes me up. And then I actually have a backup alarm on my phone that forces me out of bed because I have to get up and go across the room into the bathroom to go turn it off. So there's ways that you can actually cut your morning routine into a healthier pattern. Financial planning so that money stress doesn't wreck your cortisol. So getting on a plan, setting a budget, you know, finances is one of the highest stressors for most of us. And it's something that is completely in your control. And just making that decision to change your habits with money can really fix the quality of your health and your life long term. And lastly, organizing your space so that your environment supports you is so important. And again, there's people you can hire that do that. There's so many great people out there. If you just Google your local organizers or clean spacers and all that, or you can just follow some guides or some YouTubes again online where people talk about like, you know, what's the Marie, what's her name, who does the whole like, if it brings you joy, or if it doesn't bring you joy, get rid of it. There's so many things that you can do to just spend a whole day, carve it out, and organize your damn space, okay? And some implementation tips that I have to finish out today's chat is, you know, don't overhaul everything. Pick one category that you identify throughout the week when you're being mindful and start there. You know, anchor new self-care to existing habits. So a higher protein breakfast while you're already making coffee. Okay. It's really important for those of us who have cortisol dysregulation to make sure you have food with your caffeine. Okay. Use the DoorDash budget reframe. So where are you spending money and energy on numbing habits that could go toward true restoration and self-care habits. Track how you feel after 2 weeks of a new practice versus 2 weeks of an old pattern. See how those kind of juxtapose against each other. And it should help remind you that, like, yeah, those things, even though I get these dopamine hits, I get this huge crash and I just feel like crap because I'm like, okay, again, I didn't prioritize myself. I didn't go work out. I didn't drink enough water. I didn't make any meals, all that kind of stuff. And give yourself permission for that discomfort of change, because growth isn't always comfortable and you might quote unquote backslide. I don't really love the phrase backslide because you're always moving forward the more steps you take in the right direction, even if you feel like, oh my gosh, I just had a horrible meal. I went all the way back to square one, or I didn't work out for a few months and now I'm just back to square one. No, because you spent a lot of time working towards that habit and implementing more days doing the things that you wanted to do, and you will again. Just commit yourself to the future and making those decisions in the now that are going to get you there long term. And all of that is always moving forward, because that's adding more days into that bucket of you trying versus the days that you are not trying. You know what I mean? As far as, obviously, you know, you may have more days where you're not trying, but I consider those neutral. I don't always consider those negative. If you are adding a lot more days of like drinking a bunch of wine, you might be kind of harming yourself. And if it's something that is harming you, then yeah, I would say that maybe you are retracting from your progress and just make the decision immediately the next day. Okay, I'm not doing that anymore. We're going to continue to refocus on this. And just don't get yourself in that loop of where like you hurt or you're shameful for the fact that you're not being perfect, okay? There's pretty much never perfection, and that is never something to measure yourself against. So to close out today's chat, you know, I wanted to remind yourself that loving yourself means proving you love yourself through your choices. So ask yourself, would I do this to someone I deeply love and want to thrive? So self-care is that daily demonstration of your self-worth. So make sure that when you are really choosing yourself and deciding that you want to show yourself that you love yourself, maybe you feel like you don't love yourself, you know, that's a really easy thing to ignore or know that that's why you're numbing, is because you hate yourself or you just really dislike a lot of things about yourself. Coming back to yourself and making the decision to forgive yourself. Like, first, I had this conversation with one of my good friends recently. You have to make that decision where you understand the mistakes you've made or anything that you hold shame for, and make that decision that you forgive yourself for your past. You may have been acting out of survival. You may have been following the examples from your parents or something like that. And it may not be you that you choose. You may realize that you don't identify with that person anymore. And that means that they are gone. You don't have to think about that anymore. Every decision you make forward, you have the opportunity to shape yourself into who you want to be. And letting yourself know that it was okay that you were that way, but you're not identifying with that person anymore, can give you a big opportunity to access self-love and love the version of you that you want to be. And that requires you breaking out of those patterns and choosing yourself through decisions you make day to day that prove that you love yourself, okay? So I just want to remind you as I close out today that, you know, you're allowed to enjoy your wine, your Netflix, your scrolling. Just don't mistake them for self-care that will actually change your life. If you're feeling like your life isn't going in the direction that you want, or your health or whatnot, maybe it's time to take inventory of those. Audit your self-care routines and ask, is this numbing or nourishing? That's the easiest way to figure it out. And do not mistake that dopamine hit as nourishing, okay? If this resonated, I hope you can share it with somebody who needs to hear it as well. But as always, Rebels, celebrate your strength and nourishment, walk with confidence, and I will catch you in a few weeks on another episode of Rebel Wellness. All right, Rebel, that's another episode in the books. If you're sitting there thinking, oh my God, this actually makes sense now, do me a favor, screenshot this episode, tag me at Kaylee Loren or at Rebel Wellness Podcast on Instagram, and tell me which piece hit different. Your aha moments literally make my entire week. Want more of this energy? Jump on my newsletter where I spill the tea on everything from blood work interpretation to why your cravings aren't a character flaw. It's the unfiltered stuff that would make this episode 3 hours long. So if you want more of that, join our newsletter on my website, coachkales.com. And listen, if this show is becoming your weekly dose of someone finally gets it, please smash that 5-star rating on Spotify, or please drop us a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps us grow and expand and share more education with more women like you who need it. You know, it's really important that we support our sisters. Real talk though, disclaimer time, I'm dropping knowledge, not prescriptions. Everything here is educational. I'm not diagnosing, treating, or replacing your healthcare team. Think of me as your research-obsessed bestie who happens to know a lot more about hormones, gut health, and all the good stuff than your hairdresser or that random health guru that you're not quite sure if you should trust her background. Keep questioning the status quo, keep trusting your body's wisdom, and keep showing up for yourself. You're doing better than you think, and I'll be right here cheering you on. Catch you next week.